This morning we are continuing our series on service, and today we're going to talk about serving the world with the gospel, serving the world with the gospel. Now, as we consider life, there is this idea, this mentality that we have so often, people in our society today, that we can do anything that we want, or at least we have the desire. I wish I could do anything that I want to do. And so I looked that up, and I found this website that was helpful, if you will, on how to do anything that you want. And it gave four ways to do anything that you want. You guys ready for this? I hope you're taking notes, right? So you can do anything that you want. So first of all, figure out what you want. I guess that's a good place to start. Some suggestions in figuring out what you want. Experience something new. Plant a garden, talk to new people, read different kinds of books, try new foods, learn a new language, take a trip to a new place. Don't be afraid to change course. Eventually, you'll discover things you love. Now, all of those things are nice, and we could come up with 100 other things that we could do to experience something new. Learning a new language, I don't know about that. That's a little too much work, right? Who wants to put in so much work? But anyway, try something new. The second way to figure out what you want to do, write down all your interests and dreams. Record everything you ever wanted to do. Write down the things that you think will make you happy. And order them in priority from the thing that you want to do that will make you the most happy on down the list. All right, and then create a vision board. Create a vision board. So put pictures on it of the things that you want to do or accomplish. By having a visual representation, it will help you get in the right mindset. All right, so first of all, figure out what you want to do. Second, develop a plan. Develop a plan. Once you figure out what you want to do, create a plan to get there. You might have to do some research. You might have to get some training or education. You might need some money. Make a 5-year plan and come up with this, the steps that you need in order to accomplish the things that you want to do or to do what you want to do. Go step by step. Third, and this is where I have the most trouble with from this website, says believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Tell yourself, I can do anything, be anything, accomplish anything, and don't forget it. Don't let anyone tell you what you are capable of. Nobody knows you better than you know yourself. Only you can truly know what your fullest potential could be. No one else can map that out for you. Listen to motivational speeches. Don't be afraid of failure. Stay motivated with affirmations. Take advantage of opportunities. And then the fourth step is to find support. Surround yourself with the people, family and friends, who will support you in the things that you desire to do. So that was a website that had the four steps to being able to do anything that you want to do. Now, what do we think about all of this? How should we approach this? Well, first of all, some of the stuff there is good, day-to-day encouragement. It is good for us to identify our goals. It is good to have a plan. It is good to be motivated to work hard in order to accomplish the things that we want to do. And it is good, great, to get help from others. I mean, those are good things to incorporate into our life as we move forward through life. But we have to be careful about being self-serving and self-focused. We want to be careful that it is not just about us, but especially in the Christian mindset, there is another consideration, a greater consideration, and that is, as Christians, we are called to love God and we are called to love others. That is what is given to us by God, and that supersedes my own desire and happiness. Now, that might sound contrarian to our culture, and maybe it is in a sense. I'm not suggesting that we should walk around with our heads hung down or that we shouldn't be happy, but what I am suggesting is that the greatest satisfaction and the greatest joy that we can experience is when we experience it serving the Lord. He is our joy. He is our strength. He is our peace. And so serving God and serving others does mean I will have to sacrifice what I want to do. And I might have a bucket list and never be able to accomplish or see it. The idea that if you believe in yourself, you can do anything that you put your mind to, I just don't agree with that at all. I can believe in myself all day long, but there are inabilities and weaknesses. There are a lack of resources. There are no opportunities. There is not enough strength or power or resources in me. It's just never enough. And there are always others who are stronger and better than me in different areas of life. And just because I want something to be true, very rarely does that come out in life apart from the grace of God. And so what we have to do then is to humbly yield ourselves to the plan of God, the plan that He has for us, and trust that that plan that He has for us, even if it goes against our thinking and our feeling, that His plan is best. And we should always yield or submit ourselves to Him whenever we make plans. There are several passages of Scripture, and I've enlisted the help of some of you. I'd like Rodney to stand up here. Rodney, if you would stand up and read James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, please. Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate that. Now, the problem in this passage is not that we should not make plans. The problem is that we make plans based upon our own strength and our own abilities. We should not make plans in our own strength and our own abilities. That is, as it says here, a boast in our arrogance. There's an arrogance and a pride in that. Instead, what we ought to do is when we make our plans, we say, if the Lord wills, I will go here and I will do this and I will do that. And so in the making of my plans, I submit myself to the plan that the Lord has, knowing full well that my plan might be a little bit off or different than what God has planned for me. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever thought that you knew God's will and discovered down the road that you were just a little bit off or a whole lot off? I don't know, right? You ever experienced that? I have. So anyway, the idea is submit your desires, submit your ambitions, submit your bucket list, if you will, to the Lord. And if it is His will, then we will enjoy it. And if it is not His will, then we rejoice anyways, right? Because His ways are better than our ways and past finding out. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He was getting ready to be arrested, and He prayed to the Father to take the cup away from Him. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's just kind of the cry of every Christian. We ought to submit ourselves and our wills to the will of the Father. He knows best. And, you know, that only makes sense. If he's smarter than I am and He knows all things, past, present, and future, He knows tomorrow and He knows what is best for me, then I'd be a fool not to submit to Him. I'd be a fool to do it my own way rather than His way. So let us make sure that as we make our plans and as we establish those lists in our minds as to what we would like to see and accomplish and do in our lives, let us make sure that we submit ourselves to the Lord. Now, as we think about this, there's a verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. And there's an amazing thing that happens to us when we invite Jesus into our lives. So we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We're not a Christian, but now we ask Him to forgive us, and now we become a Christian. He forgives us, He transforms us, and He sends His Spirit to live and reside within us. We are now free. Now, the thing is that when we talk about freedom, especially in our society, we go back to, well, I can do anything that I want. However, before God, freedom means freedom to do what he has called us to do, or freedom to serve. I have Galatians chapter 5, verse 3 up there. Let's take this verse. Let's go back to our picture here. Sorry about that. It should be Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and this is what it says. For you, brethren, have not been called to freedom. You, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. All right, I finally made it through Galatians 5:13. We have been called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity to do what you want, first and foremost. Instead, you are now free to serve one another. Now, this is a Christian thing. This is not really a worldly thing, unless we have some kind of big disaster that takes place and people realize that the disaster is greater than anything that they need to do right now. So, for example, how many of you have heard about the fires in Maui that have taken place in Maui? Okay, we've heard about the fires going on there. And what happens when you have such a devastation of an entire city like that and of other parts of the island? You have the people rallying to provide relief. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. You have these people who are providing relief, who are putting aside their desires and their ambitions just for a moment, and they are sacrificing maybe their money or their time and their efforts. They're sacrificing themselves to provide relief for somebody who's going through a harder time than they are. And this is good. And we recognize that, even in the world, that we recognize that. In Christian life, however, this is to be an ongoing mentality. It is the mentality that I am to love God and to love others and to serve. And therefore, I go forward step by step, sacrificing my desires, my ambitions, my wants. I sacrifice those for the sake of somebody else, for the sake of helping them, for the sake of building them up. That ought to be my desire. So our summer of service, we have been going through the summer. We have been concerned about our duty as Christians to serve others. And we started by talking about serving our spouse, serving our children, serving our parents. We talked about serving our neighbors. We've talked about serving our communities. And we're talking today about serving the world. And this is an important part of who we are as Christians. This is an important part of the responsibility of loving. When we love God and when we love others, this is what's going to happen. And so we come to our first point this morning, and it is this, and it's something that we've already been talking about. Take Jesus to the world. Take Jesus to the world. Now, this is beyond taking Jesus to where I am in Martinsburg only, but taking Jesus even further. Taking Jesus to the entire world. Now, we've been talking about the Great Commission. It's been mentioned in the last 2 weeks before this, and I'm going to mention it again. Micah, if you'd stand up and read Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission found at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. All right, wonderful. This is the Great Commission. It is found at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, go into all of the world and make disciples of men. Now, there are other verses that share this great commandment. For example, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, a restatement of the Great Commission. We find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Spirit of God, he promised, would come upon us, and part of our job as Christians, part of our duty is to take that gospel to the entire world. Now in this verse, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Now some of the disciples stayed in Jerusalem. In Samaria, we learned last week how Philip went to Samaria, and to the end in Judea and all Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we're not all called to go to the entire world, because next Sunday nobody would be here. But as a church, some of us are to go, some of us are to stay. We are to work together. This is a calling that goes beyond us as individuals. It involves us as individuals, but it goes beyond us as individuals to the church like this. And there are many churches all across the world who love the Lord. And all of us as Christians, we are to work together to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Praise be to the Lord. So we go to all of the world and we spread the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and we proclaim him to a lost and dying world. Now, here at our church, we are associated with the Southern Baptists. We are a Southern Baptist church by association. Now, one of the ideas of the Southern Baptists is what's called the cooperative program. So we are a small church, and we only take in a certain amount of money, a little bit of money, and we can only do so much. As a matter of fact, we probably wouldn't even have enough money to send one missionary to one place. That would just be a whole lot of money. I mean, it's like taking on another staff person. And, you know, we could decide to send Ben over to Mongolia or something, and, you know, we could do that. But for the most part, we're a small church, we can't do that much. However, when all of the Southern Baptist churches contribute to missions, this is the cooperative program, all the churches give a little bit, and the Southern Baptists, they have a missions arm of the association there. It's called the International Missions Board. And so in some small way, our money that you give in the offering plate that goes to the Southern Baptist goes to the International Mission Board, and we have a small role in supporting missions all across the world, literally. Our church is a small part of supporting missions all over the world. And that is a great opportunity for us. What we could not do by ourselves, we do in cooperation with other churches, and we have an impact across the world. Now, we just finished VBS a few months ago. Is everybody fully recovered? Those of you who served in VBS, are you fully recovered yet? What? No resounding yes? All right, we need a little more time to recover. I had the opportunity to teach the missions class this VBS, and I love doing the missions class because every year during the missions class, we focus on two International Mission Board missionaries. One who serves at home. So we learned about a couple who were church planters in St. Louis, and then one family who served as missions in Ecuador. And so we, every day during VBS week, we watched little video clips, one of the church in St. Louis and one of the church in Ecuador, and we did that all week long. And so we had an opportunity to share with the children a little bit of what's going on with people in other parts of the country or of the world who are sharing Jesus in their communities. And it's fascinating, and we have a small part to play in that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that stood out to me about the Ecuador family was that a lot of the people who go to the church have to cross a river in order to get to the church. So what they did was they constructed a zip line to go across the river. So they walk to the river, they get on the zip line and zip across the river, go to church, and then on the way home, get back on the zip line and zip back across the river to the other side of the river to go home. What great fun, right? until you have to do it every single day to go to church. You know how easy it would be to say, oh, honey, my back hurts. I don't feel like going across that zip line. I'm just going to read my Bible at home today. And it would be so easy to do that. But you know, this is the sacrifice that some people in the world have to make in order to go to church. They've got to zip across the river, back and forth, in order to go. Would you be willing to do that? It would mess up your hair. It would get your feet, your shoes wet, mess up your dress or your coat or your shirt or whatever. And you'd have to just endure that in order to go to church. That's just what other people in other parts of the world have to do. We have it good, don't we? You know, I come every Sunday morning and I've been getting hot during the summer. I'm just hot. Even now, I'm like, I'm hopefully far enough away from you that you can't see that there's, I'm hot. Okay? But still, we're in this nice air-conditioned building. It's completely sealed. The air is working. The lights are on. Got these nice chairs to sit on. We're basically comfortable here. Praise the Lord for our comfort. But we have to take the gospel to where it's uncomfortable. And that's just part of our calling. It's not about being comfortable or enjoying the service. It's about doing the work of the Lord in every part of the world. So let us take Jesus to the world. And following along with that, let us help believers across the world. Let us help believers across the world. Now, we have several examples in Scripture of this. First one comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 26. It said, now Paul is going on these missionary journeys, and Macedonia and Achaia, they are portions of Greece, modern-day Greece. So Paul has left Israel. He has been traveling across the Mediterranean there, and he has made contacts with Macedonia and Achaia and other parts of the world. It says, it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So Paul has taken the need of the church in Jerusalem to these other churches far away, and he has presented them with the need, and they were moved in their hearts to give something to help and to contribute to the poor people in Jerusalem, even though they didn't know them personally. And this is an amazing thing. Now notice here, it says, to make a certain contribution for the poor. This word contribution is actually the word that is translated fellowship in the rest of the New Testament. So, for example, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, notice when we come across the word fellowship in this verse, it is the same word contribution as we saw in Romans. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, there it is, that's the same word, fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, there it is again, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. And so when we consider what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 15, he is saying that their contribution is actually an act of fellowship. And this is true. Whenever we contribute to somebody in need, whenever we invest ourselves in the need of somebody, we make a connection with them. We enter a fellowship with them. And now I care what happens to them, they care what happens to me, because we are in fellowship even through this offering of a gift. It is a gift of fellowship, a gift that establishes a fellowship. We invest and we make a connection with them. Now, we have an opportunity to be part of what is going on in Zambia. I have made several trips to Zambia, and we have a pastor that we support there. We have in our budget $200 that we send to this Zambian pastor, Julius Fieri. And so for us, $200 is not that much. And really, it is not that much. $200 a month is not very much. But for them, it goes a very long way. And so here's a pastor in Zambia, and he serves the Lord there. They are poor. The church is poor. And they take this money. He takes this money and he uses it to serve the Lord. This is a connection that we have made, and we've had the opportunity to fellowship with him and with the work that is going on in Zambia. What an amazing privilege. So not only do we give to the cooperative program, but we also give directly for missions in Zambia. I had the brilliant idea this morning that I'm going to ask Pastor Julius to preach a message for us. Wouldn't that be great? Man, a lot of crickets out there today. I think that would be fantastic. So if you guys really think that's a horrible idea, I can nix it. But I'm going to contact him and see if there's some way that, I mean, it's probably 4 o'clock in the morning for him right now. I don't know if he'd be willing to get up and just preach to his phone. But to us, I don't know, I'll work it out. But I think it would be great for us to have an opportunity to connect directly and to hear him preach the word from Zambia to us, this pastor that we serve. So I'm going to try to work that out. We'll see if it materializes or not. Here's another verse about reaching out and helping believers in other parts of the world. Robert, would you read Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30 for us? All right, wonderful. So the church in Antioch, this is Paul's home church. It is north in Syria, north of Israel, not very far, but you know, a good number of days' journey. The church in Antioch, where Paul was from, heard that there was going to be a famine in Jerusalem, and they determined that they would meet their need there in Jerusalem. And another example there of one church in one part of the world helping another church in another part of the world. When the Ukrainian crisis, the war broke out a year ago or so, I don't know exactly how long it has been, but we here at our church collected money and we sent it to the International Mission Board and designated it for the churches in Ukraine. And so we collected over $2,400, which again, in the large scope of things, is not a whole lot of money, but we were able to collect $2,400 and send it to help the Christians who were going through and still are going through a pretty tough time in Ukraine, in this war that they're fighting. So another opportunity to reach and to minister to those who are in need. Robert, did I switch your verses? Okay, you're going to read the two? Sorry about that, I had the wrong... Two Roberts. Doesn't take much to confuse me. Sorry about that. Robert, go ahead. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. All right, thank you. Thank you, Robert, for reading again, and sorry, Robert, for skipping over you. I apologize for that. Anyway, in this passage, there is the exhortation on the first day of the week to put something aside. And this means that it is okay to plan and to budget for those in need and for our giving. And so the examples of Zambia is an example of planning for giving. Ukraine is a one-time kind of thing. But we have in our budget 3% that is designated for missions. And so the money, the $200 a month that we send to Zambia is part of that 3%. We also have $400 that we set aside every month for disaster relief. And we have a very active disaster relief ministry here at our church, and I thank the Lord for that. And so what we do is every month we set aside a certain amount of money that we can use to bless believers in other parts of the world or the country. And I'm hoping that we can take this 3% and our missions endeavors will grow and expand in the days to come. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm praying for, that we can fulfill these examples in Scripture that we have of one church in one place helping people and churches in other places that need that help. And we have this verse here. Kevin, I want there it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Now, in this passage, what we see is that there is this motivation, this willingness, this zeal that they had to help others. And I guess that kind of falls on my shoulders, that as opportunities present themselves, maybe we can be motivated to do a little bit more for a certain period of time for people that might need it. And so, again, I'm always looking and sensitive, and I know others are for opportunities to serve the Lord. Maybe on the Sunday that Pastor Julius preaches to us, maybe we can have a special offering in order to help him finish his church building over there in Zambia, because for a long time they just had the walls and they met inside the building, but you know, it was just kind of open air. And they've recently put a roof on it, but there's a lot more involved in the construction of their church building. I don't know, that's just an idea. Maybe that would be an opportunity for us, just for one Sunday, to have a little bit of an extra money put aside to send to him and to be a blessing to him. So we'll see how that works out. Anyway, our primary opportunity here is to, well, our primary duty is to serve. We serve the Lord in our homes. We serve the Lord in our church. We serve the Lord to our neighbors. We serve the Lord in our community, and we serve the Lord across the world. Let us be ready to take the gospel of Jesus to the world. Let's stand as we pray this morning.